All right, welcome back, hour number two. Good to have you with us right here on the Team.80 and the Odyssey app. We'll lower the temperature a little bit and talk about something near and dear to Linnell's heart. His beloved Wizards, his beloved NBA takes center stage. Well, it's already taken center stage with the first two nights, but the Wizards
a lot of injuries
start their year tonight right here on the Team.80 and the Odyssey app. Craig Hoffman is there at 4 o'clock for his show, 6:45 the pregame, 7 o'clock-ish the tip, again, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And I will tell you this, you know, and we'll get back to the Commanders later on is what I can tell you. I will tell you this.
I'd love to hear this.
I'm slightly optimistic about the Wizards being fun this year to watch.
What does fun mean?
Fun. It's a great question.
I'll tell you what. They were your head 15, busted in.
They were 15 and 67 last year. Fun for me. I'm not going to give you an exact win total because we're going to do that probably next segment. But fun for me means being a lot more competitive. B, being in a ton of games right until the very end, and you're going to lose more games than you're going to win. That's not what this is about. Fun means feisty, plucky, spirited, where Capital One Arena is rising to its feet as you try and get a big defensive stop as, I don't know, Jaylen Brown has the rock tonight, up one with, I don't know, 20 seconds left, and you're trying to get your, and your team is right there on the ball, and they are feisty, and they are switching, and they are playing tough, physical team defense. To me, normally defense is not fun. I really want to see how improved this team is defensively with the addition of Alex Sarr and the shot-blocking prowess that he has. Year two of Bilal Coulibaly. And don't forget, he got injured with what, about a month and a half or so, roughly, last year, left remaining in the year. So he didn't play all of that time down the stretch. So he's had some extra time to physically get right, get healthy, what have you, and is now in year two. And all of the other additions that they've made, which we can break down. To me, my definition of fun, while I don't want to give just yet a win total, is, again, being closer, being tighter, being more in games, right down to the wire, tooth and nail, scrapping, scraping, doing, diving on the basketball court for loose balls, showing that effort, that heart, that hustle. That's what I think this team needs to show this year more than anything else. Is that fair?
They better, or their head coach won't be their head coach long.
You're going to already fire him because...
Here we go.
I'm just asking.
Good gracious. I said is if they don't, their head coach won't be their head coach for long. And here's why.
If they don't hustle and effort?
Yes.
Or,
because Brian Keefe got a very untraditional contract that does not have much long-term security.
Yeah. Nor should he have
gotten. I can make the argument that he could. I don't know which direction. I don't know what they're doing over at Monumental. I really don't.
He's a placeholder.
We're going to see.
That's what he is.
We're going to see whether or not Mike Winger, Will Dawkins, Travis Schlenk, and the Wizvengers, as I like to call them. I think they're a smart group. I do. We're going to see, though, how smart they are. And I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment. I don't mean that as anything malicious. They're a group that should, like you said, they've been preaching defense ever since they got here, right? Now,
which was what, 1 year ago? How long have they been here?
This is their second season.
This is their second season, right? Okay, right. Yeah, okay.
Every executive that has walked through here has preached defense.
Right.
Right? This is the one regime that actually, as you're alluding to, and I hate that you're correct about anything that has to do with that orange ball that you know nothing about.
Wow, yeah.
This group actually has the personnel to be good defensively. They do.
Yeah.
But for how long?
That should be their DNA, right?
But for how long is the question?
Well,
because the key piece to the Wizards defensively and the key piece to this Wizards team, I think, their best acquisition this offseason, their most impactful acquisition this offseason was Jonas Valanciunas. arguably the best screen setter in basketball, and a guy that is going to help a team that was historically bad rebounding the basketball last year.
Well, and some of that...
That's a part of defense.
Screens don't necessarily help you on defense,
right,
but rebounding certainly does.
The Washington Wizards
last year allowed 123 points a game. 123 points a game. The Boston Celtics, the opponent that they're playing, and granted, the defending NBA champions, allowed 109. So there is a sizable gap to close and figure. So let me ask it to you this way, right? Yeah. If the Wizards, who were, again, worst in the conference in terms of points per game allowed defensively and actually worse in the league, I should say, by far, by 3 points, 2.5 points a game over Atlanta. If they could close from 123, let's just use last year's numbers, to 112, meaning shed 9 points a game off their average allowed, is that progress? Is that good? I mean, numerically it's progress, but is that good enough for you in year two of this regime?
It's not about the numbers.
Year one of Sarr, year two of Koulibaly, Valanciunas, so on and so forth.
To me, it has nothing to do with the numbers, how I'm grading them defensively, because I still think they lack the personnel all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And this team is going to look completely different come February.
Okay. So what does it have to do
it's
with?
About
is it just
effort
what the
on a night in,
what
night out
eyes
basis?
Tell you?
It is effort. They
okay.
did not pass the eye test a lot of the okay. times a season ago.
But along with effort, you should see a reduction in numbers, right?
You
I mean,
should,
like if they go from 123 to 112, just use that as the ramp that I'm talking about, you should be able to correlate that with effort. I mean, you don't get to that without effort, right? Somehow, some
certainly,
way.
But the effort, it's got to start with the effort. You can play hard and give up points, Chris. Like, that's just basketball. There are great shot makers in this league. It's their effort. It's arguing with officials. It's not getting back defensively.
Okay.
It's not rotating. It's closing out aggressively on shooters.
Right.
It's that stuff, to me, is what is more important for them defensively. Now, as you alluded to, Captain Obvious, yes, if you hustle more and improve in those areas, naturally your defensive number should increase. But I don't think it's something where I'm looking at some number and saying they've got to get to this to show improvement defensively. I don't think that's how we measure this.
Well, can't they give a great effort and still get beat by great shooting teams and great players and great talent?
Exactly. There are great shot makers in this league. That's my whole point.
Well, what I'm saying is...
Well, the numbers aren't an accurate gauge of how good they are defensively.
I know, but you're smart enough to understand how this works, right? If they go from 123 to 112, right?
That's a massive drop. They'll put them as like a top 10 defense, Chris.
I know. Maybe that's the wrong number. So, all right, 123 to, let's just use 115. That's 8 points per game. No matter how they get there, are you going to be the guy at the end of the year that said, well, they didn't give effort, they got lucky,
No, Chris, what?
Well, I'm asking you for to get from point A to point B. You're going to have to
It starts with the effort. It's
right,
a mentality.
But you're going to have to give great effort to get from point A to point B, right?
Right.
If you want to get to where you're going, you're going to have to get better effort. And yes, I understand what you're saying, better closeout, better three-point defense, right? Where were they last year in terms of three-point defense?
They weren't
very good, right? They haven't been very good for a long, long time defending the three ball, which is obviously a huge part of the NBA game. I understand what you're saying, that we should with our eyes be able to tell a certain level of hustle, a certain level of intensity, what have you. But you know, and I know, that the way they'll ultimately be judged by the mass public and even by the NBA media at large is if, again, we're looking at, hey, you know what? They weren't great defensively this year, but they were better. They were improved. They made changes. We saw it over 82, and they went from, in this case, 123 points per game allowed, terrible, worst in the league, to 115, which is not great, but it's way better than 123. I think all of that will balance itself out and be corollary and be on the same, if you will, the same line, right? I don't think you're going to have...
We're going to see it tonight,
I don't think you're going to have different, like...
See, this is how I judge them. We're going to see it. You're going to see it tonight. You don't have to wait very long at all.
Okay.
You were playing the world champions of last year.
Right.
A team that shot the cover off the ball.
Yes.
During their first game this season.
Correct.
I don't expect you to hold Boston to under 120 points. They're a juggernaut.
Yeah, you probably
should. But I do expect effort. I do expect guys to run back defensively.
What if they allow 125, but you see some of that effort?
I don't care about that. I'm trying to tell you what I care about. I don't give a rat's ass about their numbers. They don't have an identity. They don't have a culture. They don't. This is what happens when you're a young team being led by Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
You don't have culture. You don't have an identity. They're trying to make their identity on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah.
They don't, still, in my opinion, don't have the personnel to do that, but the effort, and it's something you probably are thinking that you're going to make fun of me for continuing to use this word. You know what I mean. There is certain stuff, maybe it's the culture of the NBA, that I watched last year that I deemed unacceptable, and it's why Wes Unseld Jr. got fired. They were not competing.
They were not competing in a lot of games, correct.
That's where
not
it starts.
Not every game, but a lot of
that's
games.
Where it starts for me. You can do all the Instagram, taking pictures of yourself walking into the tunnel and all that. I give a rat's ass about that. I care about if you're going to get back defensively. I care about if you're going to sell out
you
for your teammate.
You mean you don't care about Kyle Kuzma wearing a boa constrictor outfit on the way in?
I can care less. I can care less about any of that.
Yeah.
I care about if Kyle is going to take it upon himself to dive on the floor for loose balls, to set a damn tone for this team. They need a dog. And I think they drafted a couple. And Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George.
Well, that's...
Alex Carr is still to be determined, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, but not from a shot-blocking perspective, I don't think. Alex Carr, from a offensive perspective, from a all-around offensive game perspective, and whether his body is going to be able to hold up, yes, all fair. I don't think from a shot-blocking perspective, he is still... I mean, obviously, every rookie is to be determined, but I think that skill set is there, and I think it's going to translate. We did see it in the summer league, granted, against rookies and whatnot and young kids. It is way different when you're going up against Kristaps Porzingis, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. It is and Al Horford. It is way different. I understand that. I guess what I would say is, in some ways, I'm like you, where the ultimate bottom line win total doesn't matter to me as much as if I see all of the things that I'm looking for.
Correct.
Creating that defensive identity, the hustle, the effort, the
you could be the worst sacrifice. You could be the worst team in the NBA in terms of talent, but teams should know, damn.
Yeah.
We playing the Wizards tonight.
We're going
to
war.
They're going to run up and down the
floor. We're going to war.
And they're going to get in your ass defensively. Yeah. That's all I want them to show.
That DNA, that identity, I think is more important for me, and it sounds like for you.
For sure.
We got there different ways, but it sounds like that is more important to me. And I would guess, I don't know, I listened to the Will Dawkins interview with the Junkies. I don't think the Junkies asked about this. It's not really their thing. But defensively, if there is going to be a thing to hang their hat on this year, it's got to be the defense. It's got to be that. It's got to be that's the calling card. And like you said, Boston might put up 123, 125, 128 tonight, but if they knew they were in a war,
right?
If they knew they were in it until the last second and they had to pull it out with a Jason Tatum, 22-foot fade away to win that game or to ice that game, then that's what you're looking for in year two of this regime. It's more than just about wins and losses.
It's not even what I'm looking for. It's what I demand.
Okay,
that is what I demand.
When we come back, how many wins do we demand? How many wins do we think they can get to reasonably in a long, long 82-game season? We will discuss that next. The Wizards and the Boston Celtics tonight. Coverage underway from the arena at 4 o'clock with Hoffman, 6:45 with the game broadcast, Dave Johnson and company, 7 o'clock-ish, the tip, against the Washington Wizards in year two of the reload and rebuild at Capital One Arena. The win total coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, so how many games will the Washington Wizards win? And does it even matter? So here's the deal. They won 15 last year. You play 82. That's not good. 15 and 67, was way worse than I was anticipating last year. I thought, honestly, with Poole and Koulibaly, you know, honestly, and my fault, I thought they would be in the 25-ish win range.
Mm-hmm.
I was crazy. Way off.
They're crazy.
Okay, of course. Easy to say now. I'm sure last year you were picking 15 wins right on the nose, right? So they were 15-67. Wes Unseld Jr. got fired. We all know they were 7-34 at home, 8-33 on the road. They were slightly better with the current head coach as opposed to the previous head coach record-wise. I think they won 8 games under Brian Keefe. They won 7 games under Wes, right? I think that was how it broke down. However it broke down, clearly they are better. We just talked about DNA being defense. The hallmark of this team has to be defensively. We understand that. If I know you, and I think I do, an 82-game season, your answer to this is going to be that you probably would say 18 wins, maybe 20, and you should do everything you can to get Cooper Flagg, right? To give yourself the best chance at Cooper Flagg.
What do you mean do everything you can? They don't got to try. They're not a good roster. They're going to lose games. They're not properly constructed. Depth-wise, switchability defensively, they'll probably win 22 games.
That's a little higher than I thought. So, of course, when you hit the blow-up button, which so many of you guys wanted for so many years,
because that's what was necessary.
Of course you're not going to be a good enough roster.
Yeah.
So why are we acting like they should be a good roster at this point? Right? It takes time, right? So we're acknowledging that they're a better roster than last year, but they're not a good enough roster to contend with the teams like the Boston Celtics, the New York Knicks, the Orlando Magic, the Cleveland Cavaliers, teams like that. I'm not throwing in the 76ers. They're going to be hurt all the time. They're going to be whatever. They'll win 45, 48 games somehow, some way, and they'll be hurt all the time, and they'll be whining and crying all year long. The bottom line, the Pacers, you know, the bottom line is you're saying 20, you're saying what, low of 20, high of 22 in that range? Is that fair?
Low?
Well, you're saying like the minimum number that they should win it.
A low is a 15.
Okay, so you think it's possible that they could be as bad as they were record-wise last year with this roster?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be to me, and maybe I'm just wrongly judging this,
I think
that would be a terrible disappointment.
You literally just said, why are we expecting this team to compete? Yet, if they win 15 games, unacceptable.
I was talking about with the NBA elite. You understand that, right?
Well,
I was talking about
the
Celtics.
NBA elite.
No, you're not. I was talking about the Celtics. I was talking about the Magic. I was talking about teams like that. We shouldn't expect them to compete with teams like that. You said they're a poorly constructed roster, and I said, well, yeah,
that's the point.
Of course.
That's, yes.
Because they hit the blow up button,
yes.
And now they're rebuilding, and they're only in year two of that rebuild.
Fine.
So, of course, they shouldn't be as good and as deep and as talented and as versatile and as switchable and all the key
that's,
terms that you
fine.
Like to
I'm
use on your
pointing,
little T-shirts. You know, of course
I'm just
they shouldn't
out
be
the
that.
Damn fact of the situation.
Okay. But
it
but
is what it is.
But answer,
if they win 15 games this year, it is not a disappointment, Chris.
How could that be? How
you,
do you
because
agree
I'm
that
not
the roster
judging
is
them
bet-
by win total?
Okay,
Chris?
Do you agree that the roster is better this year than it
Chris,
was last year?
Chris, I'm not judging them by win total.
I know you're total. The. I know you're special.
It is about
you're in your own elite
them.
Neighborhood.
No, it's not about win total. It's not. This team's not going anywhere.
You understand
so
that.
So looking at the win
you
total
understand
means
that
nothing.
99.5 out of 100 people are going to judge whether the Wizards were better or worse than last year based on their win total, right?
I think
you understand
that. If you're polling 100 dumbasses, then sure.
What do you think if you're Will Dawkins? How are you?
I've
if
told
you're Will
you in
Dawkins,
the last
you're going to be happy.
I told you in the last
if
segment.
You win 12 games, but you show hustle and effort.
Chris, it's not. First of all, 12 is less than 15. That's.
I'm just.
My
I was
point
just,
is the win total number is minute. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. They are trying to establish a culture, find an identity.
Yes, I
if
agree
that
with
happens. And you're only able to muster up 15 wins, And Chris, you know how the NBA works. There are 82 damn games. You can win 15 games and be in a hell of a lot more. You can be in. You can win 15 games and lose 20 games by two or three possessions.
Okay, that's a really good point.
That's all I do is make good points, Chris.
I would caution that's not true. You double talk. But ultimately, you know this. Even if you lose 12 games by 2 points or a basket or less, right? 3 points or less. If you lose 12 games and only win, let's just call it 15. Yes, some of us are going to point out, hey, man, there were a couple of games right there. And if they just had one more shooter, if they just made one more shot, if they just made two more free throws, they would have won that game or extended into overtime. And maybe they could have won 26 games instead of 15 games, right? But the bottom line is you won 15 games. And ultimately, it is going to be hard to sell progress. And you keep saying, well, if you get 100 dummies like Linnell is the only smart person in the world,
that's not what I said, and that everyone else consuming Wizards basketball is a dumb idiot,
it is really hard to sell that product based on, hey, they showed hustle.
Chris, it's going to be hard to sell the product because the owner had his head up his ass and gave Bradley Beal a no-trade clause. Should have never happened. It was one of the most egregious decisions ever made in the history of the NBA. It was a terrible deal.
I would agree.
So they're going to have
not that they gave him the contract extension, that they gave him the no trade clause.
They're going to have to both the decisions asinine.
Okay,
they're going to have to lay in it. They made their bed. They're going to have to lay in it.
They gave him a no trade clause and they still traded him.
To where he wanted to go.
But that was going to happen anyway.
No, it was not.
You think he was going to get traded to the Portland Trailblazers?
Do you not understand what the hell a no-trade clause means, Chris Russell?
Yeah, I do.
You don't get to determine where you get traded.
Do you understand how personal relationships work? See, you don't.
Oh, I don't.
I'll back off. Ted Leonsis was not going to ship Bradley Beal to Russia to play in the Russian Elite League, okay? He was not going to ship him to NBA Siberia. He was going to ship him to a spot that Bradley Beal wanted to go, whether he had a no-trade clause or not, period.
That's the difference between me and you. You can believe that tongue-in-cheek crap.
Okay.
You think John Wall wanted to get traded to Houston? Personal relationships, right? John did more for this city than Brad's ever done.
I mean,
so what are you talking about? Talking about personal relationships,
Houston,
right?
Houston at that time was not as bad. They hadn't bottomed out, had they? They weren't good, but they hadn't bottomed out.
Yeah, look that up.
And you got
buddy.
Russell Westbrook. You got
it's
Russell
Westbrook.
What
the hell you're getting in return? It's about you're making it about where the player goes. If they didn't give Bradley Beal a no trade clause, I guarantee you, they would have shipped him.
And if they chose not to, that
is organizational malpractice.
They would have shipped them to Detroit, right?
If that's who was ponying up the best deal, you bet your ass.
Well,
I don't work under that premise. Look, the city drafted Bradley Beal, gave him a massive contract.
Mm-hmm.
What more do they owe him?
Realistically, they don't, but there is called the human relationship, and they were very, 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 very fond of Bradley Beal. Whether you like that or you don't like that, they were not going to just dump him in a horrible pasture field somewhere to die.
It's about getting the best. If Ted is about his dollar the way he seems like he is why he's trying to own the Nets too, he would have sent Bradley Beal to the best location possible
for
the Wizards.
The Wizards and the Celtics meet up tonight in game one for the Wizards, game two for the Celtics. I have the Wizards. I'm going to say they're going to win 24 to 26 games this year. Somewhere in between. I'll go low of 24, high of 26. I think it'll be a marked improvement. I think you will see the improvement. I think you will see the defensive identity. I think you will see the hustle. You won't see it every night and every spot and every game and every little nuance and nook and cranny. You will see it more than you've seen it. More than you've seen it for it by and large over the last 4 or 5 years or whatever period you want to look at. I do think they will be much improved. Again, much improved is not winning 35 games. That would be much improved, even though that's still not good enough. That would be much improved. I think they will be improved. Let me label it that, and I'll go again between 24 and 26 games. Timeout for a trending alert, and then we'll come back. We'll try and grab a couple of your phone calls. We'll go back to the Commanders conversation as well. Nell's Super Six Pack is top six teams in the NFL. Will the Washington Commanders finally make that list? That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so as we mentioned again, the NBA season opener for the Wizards tonight at Capital One Arena against the defending world champion Boston Celtics, who are already off to a 1-0 start. Craig Hoffman is coming up following this train wreck of a show at 4 o'clock from Capital One Arena. He will take you until 6:45, then Dave Johnson and friends at 6:45 for the play-by-play, again, of Game 1 of 82 for the Wizards, the new-look Wizards, with all additions that they've made, including number 2 overall pick Alex Sarr in the lineup, along with the other 2 first-round draft picks that they made in June as well. You can hear it here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. The Caps with a well-earned night off after back-to-back nights and back-to-back wins against John Tortorella and the Philadelphia Flyers. Plenty of other NHL action in play after everybody took last night off, with the exception of the Caps and the Flyers. The schedule highlight of the night is the Florida Panthers, the defending Stanley Cup champions, and the New York Rangers. And from Commanders practice, of course, no Jaden Daniels on the field, as well no Brandon Coleman. But the hope, reportedly, based on Adam Schefter and Mike Garofolo's national reporting, is that Jaden Daniels will be able to practice in some form or fashion tomorrow. The team getting set to host the Chicago Bears and D.C. native Caleb Williams at 4:25 on Sunday. And that's what's trending. All right, 2:36, Team 980, about halfway home on a Thursday afternoon, a throwdown Thursday. Yeah, it is a little bit different. I see all your complaints. I see Dwayne has chimed in on Twitter saying, listening to this show is like watching the village idiot argue with the court jester. You guys can also argue which one you want to be. So I guess one or the other, Linnell or myself, is village idiot and or a court jester. I'll wear the hat on this. I'll take the village idiot.
What about?
I mean, of course, Dwayne is the smartest human being alive on planet Earth. I'm sure Dwayne would be really good at this.
Who's Dwayne?
Dwayne is some guy that tweeted both of us saying listening to the show is like a village idiot arguing with a court jester, and that we can argue as to which one we want to be. Now, I would say this. Yeah, from time to time, we get into some really deep, nuanced, weird, crazy-ass arguments. There is no doubt about that. But if you're listening for 3 minutes and making a judgment on a radio show, that's not fair either. That's not right either. I would also say this. I would, even though I get very frustrated with you sometimes, many times, I would much rather listen to this type of radio than boring, cookie cutter, yawn, watching grass grow type radio. I'm just going to say. You may not like everything you hear. You may think it's too argumentative. You may think it's too whatever you might think. But I'll take this over the boring cookie cutter radio that you hear in a lot of places. Just saying. People that are afraid to have a strong opinion and be able to actually have an argument, you know, keep that in mind. All right. Let's go back out to the phones, or let's go to the phones and try and get in Keith and Clinton, who wants to ask a very important question here. Hello, Keith. How are you?
Keith, I hope this question doesn't have anything to do with chastising me, because the way you got him laughing, that's the only reason. stop laughing.
I love both of y'all, man. Look, the guy who sent that in, you know, he's not one of us, really. You know, I mean, I love the show. I mean, you do argue a little too much, but, you know, like you said, I don't want a boring show.
Yeah.
You know.
I appreciate that. You know, I would agree that we argue too much and we get stuck on maybe some deeper cut semantics and all that stuff. I would agree. If I'm being honest, I would agree with that.
It's the sound of Chris Russell kissing Keith's ass cheeks.
No, you need to be kissing him.
I would pay a lot of money to see that, Keith.
The Linnell Willingham Kiss My Ass Club.
Mm. I wonder where you stole that from, where you stole every other idea and concept.
Just because I recite something doesn't mean I'm stealing it.
Look, Linnell is strong-headed, man. Linnell, I'm like, man, if Linnell is I'm not getting anybody's marriage on the serious, no, we're joking. If Linnell is married, Man, he must like, I got to dominate this conversation. Baby, fried chicken, get your head out the ass. I'm like, Linnell, calm down, brother. Bring it down. Son. It's not that serious.
So basically but what anyway. You're saying, Keith, is I'm the one that's being wronged here. I'm the one that's being, you know, lumped in with a raging lunatic. Is that what you're saying?
Chris, you know I'll always take up for you.
Thank
but
you, Keith.
You're a little too soft for him. If y'all were married, he'd be the type of husband that would run over you. If you were the husband, he'd be the type of wife that would run over you. You get run over either way you put it.
I'm going to run away after long. I'll run away.
Thank you, Keith.
I thought Linnell was serious when he said, when Linnell said, I'm out of here, I'm done. And you said, I can handle the show by myself. I thought he was serious. I was like, Linnell, don't leave. This is good, man.
No, I thought he was serious, too. I was very disappointed when he came back. And Matt's playing the wedding music, right? What do they call that? The wedding song, the holy matrimony song.
Here Comes the Bride. Whatever.
Yeah, Here Comes the Bride. I couldn't think of the
name. That is awesome.
Thank you, Keith. Appreciate you, as always. Good to hear from you. All right, let's get to Dennis. He also wants to chime in on something along these lines. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Dennis, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Chris?
What's up, Dennis?
All right, so listen to this.
Hold on, Dennis. Before you go any, hold on, Dennis. I do this with Doc. Y'all don't call in and say, hey, Chris, and not hey, Linnell. I'm here too, Dennis. Damn.
Wow. He's calling you out, Dennis. Do you have a response to that?
To be honest with you, Linnell, I don't get you, man. I don't get you at all. So, but let me say this. The commander said week to week. So that means I got a strong feeling that it's not day to day. So just get it through your head. He's not playing this weekend. And don't try to know it's all about his show business, but it's a long-term thing. So he's not going to play.
Dennis, you know what you're doing? Well, I personally agree with everything that you said, and I've been saying the same thing about the week-to-week, day-to-day thing, and he's not going to play. You're making poor Linnell, who you were honest and critical of, you're making him sleep. You're making him snore. That's the noise that you hear through your radio.
Now, why do you have to yell and scream, dude? I'm a truck driver. I'm out here. I got a migraine. Like Linnell, please pay attention. We are out here listening. We don't want to hear that. It's not good radio. And the guy is right. You sound like a clown, and Chris sounds like a court jester. So just to be honest with you.
All right, we deserve some of that. Thank you, Dennis. Stay safe on
you
the
know
road
what?
Out there.
I'm not. Go ahead.
What? I will just continue to say.
I don't want to hear your explanation about us yelling.
I will just continue to say I don't enjoy every argument, every discussion that we have, but I will just say this again. If you want boring cookie cutter radio, there's plenty of options for you out there. This is not boring cookie cutter radio. Okay?
No.
Plenty of options for you. So I will say this. Now, you walked out of the studio, no surprise. I gave my prediction, Maddie, what did I say, 24 to 26 wins for the Wizards? I know you don't think wins and losses matter in a sport that is judged ultimately by wins and losses, and that's how everybody judges things, right? But what would you say to 24 to 26 wins if the Wizards wound up on 25 wins, just for argument's sake, would that represent what to you? What would that represent to you?
I don't know how many different ways, Chris. I can skin the same cat.
Mm-hmm.
25 to 26 wins would mean as much to me as 15 wins.
Okay.
Because I'm not looking at the win total with
right.
this group.
You're the only one that is above looking at wins and losses.
It's not that I'm above looking at the win total. It just is not significant to me.
Okay.
What's significant to me is establishing a consistent play style that you sustain throughout the majority of 82 games. Mm-hmm. It is about creating good habits. It is about player development.
I would agree.
That is where this organization is. Win totals do not matter for a team that is projected by most to be a bottom feeder of the Eastern Conference. I'm not judging this group on wins. I'm judging this group on if Bilal Coulibaly takes a step forward. I'm judging this group on if Alex Sarr's offensive game develops throughout the year. I'm judging this group on if Bub Carrington gets stronger throughout the year. That's what I'm looking at. And ultimately, bigger picture-wise, if I'm not going to go individual, you know, development, I'm looking at, did the team develop an identity? Does the team play hard every night? The bar is limbo low. Wes Unseld Jr. and the effort that they gave that man last year was embarrassing. And when Brian Keefe took over, I'm here to tell you, it's not like it was some drastic turnaround. They had their fair share of embarrassing losses under Coach Keefe as well. They're a young team with, and Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma get a lot of crap as leaders, but one thing they both know how to do is win. Those are two winners.
Yeah.
Two world champions. It's them continuing to grow as leaders, and Jordan has done a great job of that. If you listen to Craig Hoffman's interview that he did with Jordan Poole, it was amazing. And it allowed Jordan to highlight some of, you know, what's next for him. Like, that to me is what's most important. It's not a win total with this group. They stink, Chris. They'll stink with 25 wins. They'll stink with 16 wins.
Okay. All right.
I mean, the 16 wins over the 26 wins while winning those 16 games, they develop players. They established an identity.
Well, logically, if you're using common sense,
Chris, you can win 20.
It's really hard to establish. It's really hard to do the things that you're looking for
and not win games
and only win 16 games.
It's not.
It's really hard.
It's not.
It is.
I promise you, it's not.
I promise you, it is. It's really hard to be that bad, but yet do all the things that you're looking for. I mean, really, because a lot of those things are indicative of winning games. So that's why I have them at a higher level. And again, I was way, 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 way off. I mean, Jordan Poole was
the San Antonio Spurs won 22 games last year.
Yeah.
But you knew every night you played San Antonio,
yeah,
you were going to get a battle defensively, right. Well, and they were going to play
number
hard.
Number one, they have a generational superstar.
Chris, damn.
Number two, 22 wins is different than 15 wins, right? So if this team gets stuck on 22 wins this year, I think you're going to come away seeing some of the traits that you're talking about and some of the things that you're looking for.
Yes.
Again, it's sure. All corollary.
Semantics.
It goes together, right? Winning is the bottom line result often of hustle and defensive intensity and good teamwork and rebounding and being competitive and sacrificing and playing together as a team and player development. Winning is the fruits of that labor.
They are not independent of each other. Yes, they are, Chris. No. It doesn't always translate. There are teams that win games and have no culture and no standard.
I understand that. I understand that. But what you're not understanding is when you do the things that you say you are looking for, you are going to win more games. Period. Period. You are going to win more games. Maybe not more games than you lose. Maybe not as many games as you need to win and make a playoff. But you are going to win more games ultimately. And what I'm trying to explain to you is, yes, all of the qualities that you're looking for are very important. But to say that wins and losses, which is how everyone judges professional sports, everyone, is not important, is not a factor, is not even on your radar, that I don't get. I don't understand that. And I would be willing to bet that if you gave truth serum to Michael Wenger, Ted Leonsis, and Will Dawkins, they would say,
man, nobody wants to lose games, Chris, but it's more important to establish your... I don't even know why I'm continuing to repeat myself. I think everybody understands what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. We'll take a timeout, and we will... Are you ready for your Super Six Pack? That the committee has been burning the midnight oil about? Are you ready? The
six-pack's been ready.
I just wanted to make sure.
We were prepared yesterday.
Okay. I just want to make sure. We'll drop it next. Are the Commanders finally, somehow, it took this long, top six? Or are they in the top nine? Or are they in the top 15? We'll have to see because there's a lot of different levels and layers to the Super Six-Pack on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, Linnell's Super Six Pack, a six-team ranking of his best teams in the NFL. And the question, as we've been telling you about all day, will the Commanders finally crack the code? Will the Commanders be in Nell's Super Six Pack?
Nell's Super Six Pack. 3, 3, 2, 1.
So the committee was hard at work this week, right?
It was another really grueling, challenging week of trying to crunch the numbers in our mother's basements and trying to figure out who these best six teams are in the NFL. It's really a 9-team ranking.
Yeah, we know.
Because there is, while this is the best power ranking segment in all of sports talk radio, it is also the best power rankings in all of sports talk radio. This is what it is. Are three teams that we call fly, but not fly enough to get in the club. Honorable mention. That's what I was looking for. The best honorable mention.
God help me.
In all of sports talk radio as well. Seahawks. Really good win for them on Sunday. Geno Smith, you want to talk about MVP candidates? Geno Smith is playing the quarterback position as good as anybody in the NFL. They're a little banged up defensively. 4-3, they got a massive showdown Sunday against Buffalo. They are fly, but not fly enough to get in the club. Speaking of Buffalo, they also fly, but not fly enough to get in the club. 5-2 and not good enough to make Nell's Super Six Pack. That's because we don't just look at records. We grind the tape.
Right.
And the Buffalo Bills are on the outside looking in, as are the Washington Commanders, because they don't have a signature victory. That's what's keeping them off this list.
Yeah.
The people want to know. They email the committee weekly. Why are the Commanders on the list? It's because they don't have a signature victory. Do they, Chris? Where are the Commanders' signature win? Where is it?
I mean, I would call Cincinnati on Monday Night Football signature win.
You're a nincompoop. They're a terrible team. Cincinnati's not good.
They're 3-4.
Not good.
With one of the best offenses
in the NFL.
Not going
anywhere. Defense stinks.
But Linnell knows more.
Not a signature victory, Chris Russell. Their three wins have come against the Browns, the Giants, and the Panthers. Oh, wait! The same three teams the Commanders beat. Two pretenders. Washington and Cincinnati. Now to get into the real list. The real six bona fide contenders that exist in the National Football League. Number six, a team that was once unbeaten, but unbeaten no more. The Minnesota Vikings, who play in the best division of football, the NFC North. They lost for the first time this weekend to those pain-in-the-ass Detroit Lions. But the Vikings, on Thursday Night Football tonight, getting the right their wrongs. Weird dynamic for tonight, because if the Vikings put a nail in the Rams, Sam Darnold may have beat the guy that's going to be his new starter. Because I think a Matt Stafford trade comes if the Rams don't figure out their season, and I can see the Vikings being a team to do it. Number five, NL Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL, the Detroit Lions, aforementioned Detroit Lions. Really good group. Not a lot of holes on this football team. Jared Goff playing well, but I argue he's not the MVP because he's the most insulated starter in the entire National Football League. Best offensive line, best running back duo, best wide receiver core. All belong to the Detroit Lions. Their defense, though, an improved unit. They come in at number five. Number four, team that lost this past weekend. We had teams swap spots in our rankings this week. Number four, the Houston Texans. I love what D'Amico Ryans and company are doing up in Houston. C.J. Stroud not playing his best, but when they get Joe Mixon the football, good things happen. He's brought an added element of toughness to their team. And they're going to be a team that's one of the last teams standing when it comes to January, February. Number three in Nell's Super Six Pack. My top six teams in the NFL. The Green Bay Packers. You want to talk about signature win? The Packers had a signature win on Sunday against C.J. Stroud and the Texans. They held C.J. Stroud to 86 yards passing. Their defense is a juggernaut. You know why? Because Joe Barry's not calling the plays anymore, Chris. That's why they've improved, buddy. I know you don't think coaching matters, but it does. They come in at number three. Number two, the team that's at number two, I have a hard time not putting number one, but you know who stays at number one as long as they remain undefeated because of hashtag BOTD, benefit of the doubt. Chiefs are number one because they're undefeated, but number two, those pesky, frisky Baltimore Ravens led by Derek Lamar Henry Jr. You realize Derrick Henry's middle name is Lamar?
It's pretty cool.
It's crazy. That's what the committee does when we're burning the midnight oil. We give you nuggets that you don't get anywhere else.
It sure isn't ranking the right teams.
Ravens number two, Chiefs number one. Anyone arguing with this list, you don't know ball.
All right. So that's Linnell's Super Six Pack. Six teams plus three teams plus a bunch of other minutia that is weird, such as a roadside assault of Joe Barry, who he conveniently forgets did not have Xavier McKinney, who's got 30 tackles, a sack, six passes defended, and five interceptions already on the year. But that's okay. I mean, it's just about who the play caller is. When we return on the other side, Alex Ovechkin does it again. You will hear it on The Chase for $8.95. Next, a couple of quick thoughts on the Capitals, and we'll wrap up some Commanders conversation. And Alameda Zaccheaus is scheduled to join us at 3:20 or so, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.